Good morning. Welcome. I feel like it's been a while since I've been up here. Really, it hasn't been that long. I guess I preached like early August, and now that it's late September, it feels like a long time. I'm glad to be here this morning. There's a lot going on in the world right now. Truly, it's crazy out there. With everything going on out there, I want to offer you some encouragement this morning. I want to offer myself some encouragement this morning. I want you to leave here this morning feeling a little bit stirred up, hopefully maybe a little bit more content, maybe just have a little bit more hope in the world. I want to show you how to encourage others. I think there are some people in this room who do a very wonderful job at that, even without trying, and I think we can learn from people in the Bible about how we can do that. There are several key aspects of encouragement, things that kind of define that word, and so this morning I want to look at encouragement through edification, through admonishment, through accountability, and then through just being present in people's lives. I think we'll find that although they look different, although they might have different meanings, all these words are really richly connected. And so first, perhaps the most easily recognizable and what most people would think of as encouragement is edification. And edification is the building up of each other, really, simply. It involves many things, and we'll talk about just a couple of those. So turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 4. There we go. And in verse 11, and he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, being lifted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. And so the reason that Christ and God gave us all these different abilities is so that we would have to work together. Certainly, I think it's true that we all need to be able to do the work, and we need to grow to fit whatever need there is. But we are all different. Some people are just better at certain things. Picture this. What if everyone had the same exact abilities? What if we all led songs the same way? What if we all taught the same exact lessons? What if we did everything the exact same way? Who's going to help us get better? Who's going to teach us how to get better? No one would. And that's why we need people to be just a little bit better at things so that we can learn from them, so we can grow in that. And that's how this works. This works so that the body can build itself up, to encourage others, to encourage others, be willing to teach. And then also to be encouraged, be willing to learn. Sometimes that's difficult. Flip over to 1 Thessalonians. In chapter 5. Now is the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying, peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief, for you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night or of darkness. Therefore, in verse 11, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. So let's look at the greater context of this chapter and what might be going on in Thessalonica. They're being persecuted for what they believe in. They faced certain hardships. In fact, Timothy was sent there to encourage the Christians there in Thessalonica. Paul was even encouraged by their actions and in their suffering. Honestly, I could have probably read this entire book for my lesson this morning. I chose not to. But as we get to chapter 5 of the book, Paul tells them to get ready for when the Lord is coming. He writes, encourage one another and build up one another. And I want to pick up in verse 14. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so we're responsible for our own selves when we do face judgment. But also, while we're here on earth, we need to help each other grow and develop. We need to help each other. We need to help other people help other people too. We can't do it alone. We need support. We need prayers to keep going. And so let's go to 1 Corinthians. And in verse 26. What is the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. And you know, certainly this is talking about spiritual gifts. But why did the apostles and then others have those spiritual gifts? To build the church. These were people that were getting everything, all sorts of twisted, and they wanted their own gifts so that they could just say that they had them. But that's not what they were for. That's not what the gifts were there to do. They were there to spread the gospel. It doesn't matter what you're good at, but use it to build others up. Use it to bring people into the kingdom. We may not have the same gifts that they did. Certainly, you know, those passed away. To a point, though, we don't need them because of what we do have today. Each one of us does have talents and abilities that we can use that are still left over. Flip over to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, verse 1. Now, we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not to just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I couldn't have said it better. And this is what encouragement can be broken down to. Sometimes encouraging others is going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. That's the nature of it. I'm sure that's how Jesus saw it too at times. He never thought about only doing what was best for himself. He did what was best for the people around him and for all of mankind. And the goal is to ultimately glorify God and become one united body. And so since these are so closely related, since I've read some passages that have both of these words, it's been difficult to kind of not talk about admonishment and accountability when talking about edification. And so really, admonishment is another word for edification. It does build up. Admonishment kind of means to coach, often to correct some behavior that someone is doing. And so let's look at an example in Galatians 6. I was in Ephesians, that didn't look right. Galatians 6. Brethren, even if anyone was caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have a reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to one another. For each one will bear his own load. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. And so that word isn't mentioned here specifically, but this is what admonishment really is. Part of building up the church is doing the maintenance that comes with it. And I would love to say that every single Christian will live the rest of their lives without ever falling short. But the truth is that we live in a broken world, and we do need to help our brothers and sisters in Christ when they struggle. Often when we think of coaching and just coaches in general, we think of that football coach or that basketball coach who's always yelling. That's not the kind of coaching that this is. That's not the kind of coaching we need to use with each other. Instead, it should be with gentleness. And this is rooted in humility, knowing that when we go-to help, that we have to be careful so that we'll not fall into the same traps that they fall into. And let's look at Proverbs 27, verse 17. I'm sure most of us could quote it by heart. Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And I couldn't really decide where I wanted to include this passage. It could really fit anywhere in this lesson. I think it fits best here. Think about what it actually takes to sharpen a knife, or a lawnmower blade, or whatever else. You have to get in there. You have to scrape away material. It's a little uncomfortable if you're the knife being sharpened. But you have to get in there and really test and scrape away the part of the knife that is dull to bring out a new edge that is able to actually do work. How do we do this? We have several examples and methods listed throughout the New Testament. I want to take a look first at Matthew chapter 18. And in verse 15, if your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. If he refuses to listen to them, tell to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be bound in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that may be asked, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. Some translations, go back to verse 15, some translations add or have, if your brother sins against you, the NASB doesn't include that. In my opinion, I think it's good advice for both cases. If your brother sins, or if your brother sins against you, or God, this is pretty good advice, I think. Compare this to Galatians chapter 6. This here is gentle, at least to start, right? Remember that the goal is to bring back this person to the Lord. Look back a couple verses. Jesus teaches the parable of the lost sheep. The goal is always to bring back the lost sheep. And then Jesus immediately says this after. Gives us steps, kind of a practical way to help people. Let's go over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Okay, starting in verse 12. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Chapter 2 starts by telling us that we are built up in Christ, that we should walk in Christ and not the things of this world. There is danger in the world. The world is attractive. The world might have customs that seem good but are not. Maybe even customs that are seen as evil if you do not follow them. That's not what the Bible says, though. We are to seek Christ and the things above. Our earthly bodies are dead to evil. They're dead to greed, desire. And with that, we are to pursue good. One way to actually admonish each other is with our worship, by singing songs together. You know, I think there's something truly powerful about singing together and worshiping. Think about some of the songs we sing. There are some really good and happy songs, and there are some songs that really make me reflect and consider. I think both of those are good. There is a time and place to be happy and to rejoice. I think it is as equally important to sing those difficult songs. It's important to think about the words that we're singing. Think about the book of Psalms. That's a song book. That's a psalm book, right? It has some very difficult passages to read. It has hardship. It has great grief. It has sin in it. David wrote a psalm about his sin with Bathsheba and begging God to forgive him. I think we ought to sing songs like that, begging God to forgive us. Or take a deer, or take a song like as the deer. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. Does it? Does your soul really long after the Lord like a deer looks for survival? And back to what we're actually talking about. This is what admonishment is. Challenging one another, correcting behavior, helping each other grow. Singing together absolutely does that. Another way that we can encourage each other is just by being present in the lives of others and spending time together in prayer. Let's go back to Romans chapter 1. Romans 1, starting verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. For God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayers, making request, if perhaps now at last by the will of God I may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established. That is, that I might be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I have planned to come to you, and have been prevented so far, so that I may obtain some fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation to both Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to foolish. So for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Paul yearned to go to Rome. He wanted to encourage the brothers and sisters there. I mean, after all, they were kind of in no man's land, far from where Christianity started, in a place where people openly worshiped false gods and idols. This took a time in a place when spiritual gifts were needed, and Paul wanted to share that with them so that they could be stronger. I think of times today when we have visitors. It's truly encouraging knowing that there are people in the world who are also following Christ, who are also working to further spread the gospel, who prioritize God, even when they aren't at home, and even when it might be easier just to keep driving through. I think about times when I get to be a visitor. I'm encouraged to hear other preachers. It's encouraging to see others who love the Lord in places that aren't central Missouri. I like it when we get to do gospel meetings, and we get to spend all week together hearing about the word. I'm stirred up every time and leave the week feeling just a little bit more filled up. Let's go to 2 Corinthians and continue that thought. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. For even when we came into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were afflicted on every side, conflicts without, fears within. But God, who comforts the depressed, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted in you, as he reported to us your longing, the mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more. For though I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, for I see that the letter caused you sorrow, though only for a little while. I now rejoice, not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance. For you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, so that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death. I think this goes along with even the last point. But Paul corrected their behavior through the first letter that he sent. They were doing things that were truly awful, that needed to be corrected. It made them feel bad. But at the end of the day, they were better off. And it isn't easy to do what Paul did, but it is necessary to correct our brothers and sisters. And Titus going there was a good thing. They were lifted up by Titus being there, by him visiting. And in turn, both Paul and Titus were encouraged. And I think this point obviously applies to more than just having visitors in our churches, right? I did want to share that example with you nonetheless. Let's go to James chapter 5. Verse 13, is any among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, so that you may be healed. the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. I think verse 14 is talking about more than just physical sickness. Let's look at the context around it. They're talking about spiritual things, being cheerful, suffering, sin, and then being sick. I think this captures everything that we've talked about so far. We have Christians singing together. We have Christians praying together. We have Christians holding each other accountable, and Christians just being together. We can read passages like Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembly together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let us consider it. How do we actually do this? What can I do to make your life better? What can I help you with that would take a load off your back? What can I help you do to help you draw nearer to God? And that is what is most important. And that is what this is all about, encouraging one another to be closer to God. The world's going to try to drag us away. And Satan will sow those seeds in our mind that we are better off alone. That's not the truth, nor what we find in Scripture. What we find in the Word is that we are better off together, supporting one another and stirring up good works. So very practically, as we finish out, sometimes to encourage others, all we need to do is just to be there and be okay sitting in silence or just sitting there listening. We don't have to say much all the time. We don't have to offer up great words of wisdom. Sometimes what people need is a listening ear and prayers. I think that's the best thing that we can offer. Hope this has been helpful for you this morning. I know reading all these scriptures and meditating on them this week has been really helpful for me. Encouragement really is a broad topic, and many things can be encouraging. Targeted edification and the conscious building up of one another is encouraging. Admonishment is encouraging. It's encouraging someone to be a better Christian. And sometimes, you know, I'm the one that needs the coaching and the encouragement. Sometimes I need to be the one to step up and coach others and to help others out. The world is crazy. We need to encourage one another. And so I want to challenge you. Find someone this week that you can help. Someone that you know might be struggling, reach out to them. Offer kind words, offer prayers. Offer to just read the scripture together. It doesn't even have to be elaborate. Offer to sing together and to worship God. And likewise, if you are someone who needs encouragement, let people encourage you. It might be uncomfortable, like it was uncomfortable for the Corinthians, but it's worth it and will ultimately bring us all closer to God. And so this morning, if you need help with anything, if you need help coming to know God or even help talking about what that next step might be, or if you need encouragement taking that next step because you're afraid, let us encourage you. We want to help, and we are willing to help. Think about that while we stand and sing.